Good morning. I want to welcome folks that may be visiting. We'll do an official welcome later, but I know there's folks here that are attending the Jubilee World Training or leading it, friends from out of town that I've seen, some familiar faces, some old faces, or some new faces, which is great. And I also want to say that today's sermon is very Unitarian Universalist focused. So for those of you that may be guests or visitors who don't identify with Unitarian Universalism yet or may never identify, I hope that you will bear with me and bear with us and just sort of enjoy this window into our faith, at least as I see it. So though Powell Davies wrote the text of our reading this morning in the 1900s, his words, I think, at least for me and I imagine for you, are still quite relevant and quite challenging. And that question of what are we doing with the power of our religion, with the power of our faith? What are we doing to make sure that we're not just the consumption of something, but also a beginning? These are very exciting questions to me. And while some of the answers need to be about actions, about getting out and dirty and in the streets and doing things, I think some of the answers also need to be about identity, about how we see ourselves and what that means. And actually, my sermon today is part of a two-part series on identity and purpose. I'll be speaking more about the macro level, the big picture, and Reverend Kent Mathias will do part two next week, looking more at the individual level and this congregation. So before we get into the present, I want to go even further back into the past, from A. Powell Davies in the mid-1950s to Francis David in the mid-1500s. So the setting is Transylvania. And in large part, due to the Protestant Reformation, there is enormous political and religious conflict throughout Europe. The Spanish Inquisition is going full throttle. It's the height of religious conflict. And yet, in this small mountain kingdom of Transylvania, the parliamentary body and a 19-year-old king set a national policy of religious tolerance and freedom of conscience. The king was John Sigismund, the one and only Unitarian king in history. And his greatest influence was Francis David, a powerful public speaker and the recognized leader of the Unitarian faith, whom Sigismund appointed as his official court preacher. But before I share a few words from Francis David, I want to remind you that at this time there is no separation of church and state, and people are literally killing each other over theological differences. And yet, Francis David manages to say, we need not think alike to love alike. We need not think alike to love alike. How incredible. How incredible. And I tell this story in part to illustrate the point which today's chalice story also points to, which is that our religion, our Unitarian and Universalist and Unitarian Universalist religion, has always had profound political, public implications. In 16th century Europe, saying we need not think alike to love alike was incredibly radical. Sadly, it's still radical today and still very important. And so I wonder, what is it that the Unitarian Society of Germantown has to say to the world today? What is our message here in this community, in this city, in this state, in this nation? Do we have a prophetic voice? Are we claiming the power, the heritage of our faith? As you think about these questions, consider this. A few years ago, the Unitarian Universalist Association brought together ministers from the fastest growing congregations in our movement and asked them to share best practices. And the ministers were asked to describe, what is the mission of your congregation? And what they said could be easily summed into two main themes. The first is that they all placed a high value on spiritual growth, on helping individuals and groups go deeper. The second is that each congregation saw itself as active, visible, and involved in justice in their larger community. And these two themes can be summarized in just seven words, which are actually used on bumper stickers, literally on bumper stickers, and other materials promoting Unitarian Universalism. They read, nurture your spirit, help heal the world. Nurture your spirit, help heal the world. It's as simple as that. Although it's not so simple. Focusing on spiritual growth is important, but it's not enough. We have to get out there. We have to stand for something. And the good thing is we have so much to stand for. Think about the words from Davies. We could stand for the freedom to seek truth, both old and new, and the freedom to follow it. We stand for equal justice. We stand for an end to ignorance and prejudice and hate. And yes, this is about our actions, but it's also about our collective identity as a religion and as religious people. Because although much has changed since the 1500s about the relationship of religion and culture and state, the truth is, religion still has an incredible influence, especially in this country. In mid-September, many of us heard from the Reverend Mark Kiemba about the incredible obstacles facing gay and lesbian people in Uganda and how that injustice is fueled by religious leaders, not just from Uganda, but from the United States. Religious groups in the United States are directly influencing the oppression of LGBT people in Uganda. And in Tennessee, this past Sunday, a week from today, last week, a young gay male couple arrived to attend services at a Christian church and were physically and verbally assaulted in the parking lot by the pastor and several deacons of that church. What's even worse is that one of the young men was the son of the pastor. That's happening now in our country and probably in other ways in our community here in Philadelphia as well. Now, I could go on and on, unfortunately, about what is still being done in the name of religion that damages gay and lesbian people and women and children. And I think men and straight people as well. This toxin touches us all. But I want to offer instead what I think is an incredible sign of hope, which is that there are some incredible changes happening to the religious landscape in this country. So according to the book American Grace, How Religion Divides and Unites Us, the number of Americans whose religious identification is unaffiliated has risen considerably in recent years, from 7% in 1990 to 17% in 2008, so a 10% increase. And among young adults, that number is 30%, 30% reporting unaffiliated. The biggest reason for that change, according to these authors, is that more and more people are being turned off by churches that emphasize conservative views on social issues like abortion and homosexuality. People are being turned off by the hate and the prejudice, which I think is fantastic news and an incredible opportunity. It's an opportunity for our society to move forward, thank God. Regardless of gender or sexual orientation, we can be a country that welcomes all people. But second, I wonder how many of these unaffiliated folks know that Unitarian Universalism exists as a religious option to them. How many of them would find a spiritual home in our faith if they knew about us? The answer depends a great deal on whether or not we are willing to claim our faith and to share it, or whether we're just going to sit on the franchise because we don't like talking about religion or thinking about ourselves as religious people. This reminds me of a story that I heard a few years ago from a colleague in Washington, D.C. And although he is a Quaker and the man in the story is a Quaker, I think it's equally relevant for Unitarian Universalist congregations. So this Quaker man moves to a new area and is disappointed that he's not meeting anyone who shares his faith. And for various reasons, it takes him several years to actually make it to the Quaker congregation in town. It just hasn't, you know, he hasn't gotten there. But when he does, when he attends his first service, he knows half of the people there. He just had no idea that a single one of them was Quaker. And so while it's good that we as Unitarian Universalists don't pressure or guilt other people into joining our faith, there is a lot of ground between proselytizing and silence. And there is a great deal at stake because it matters what we believe and it matters what we do with those beliefs. Now, Mark Kiemba spoke a great deal about his Unitarian Universalist congregation and in particular what that church is doing to respond to the widespread oppression of gay and lesbian people in Uganda. But while I was hanging out with Mark on the side, I got to ask him how he got connected in the first place with Unitarian Universalism. And I want to share some of his story, because I think it's fascinating. So Uganda is an incredibly religious country. Mark was raised in Catholic in a small village, far, far from Kampala, far from any major city. Eventually, as a young adult, he moved to an evangelical church that was pastored by a white U.S. missionary. And that pastor saw aptitude in Mark, sort of cultivated him for church leadership, and eventually sent Mark to Bible college in Kampala. But along the way, Mark was always really troubled by how the church treated women. Women were not allowed in leadership at all, and there was just really strong segregation of genders. And as he did more pastoral care, he came into contact with gay and lesbian people and started to ask questions about that as well. And he never got any satisfying answers from his pastor or the leaders in the church about why it was important for their faith to discriminate in that way. So he started looking. He knew it was time to move on to a different faith, but what were the options? And then he remembered that in Bible college, he read something about Unitarianism in a book on world religions. And so he went to a library and asked a librarian if she could help him find more information. At this point, he had never used the internet. He just read about us in a book, and the librarian printed out some resources for him. And the more he read, the more he realized that that was his faith, that Unitarian Universalism was his religion. And it transformed him so much that he founded a congregation, a Unitarian Universalist congregation. And with 150 members, that congregation, which is dedicated publicly to love and to acceptance and to reconciliation, runs a school that serves over 500 children. They run an orphanage for more than 20 kids with HIV or AIDS. They run a safe house for LGBT activists who are in threat for speaking out or just for being gay. And despite the likelihood of violence and of retribution, that congregation, with support from our Unitarian Universalist Association, held a public conference this past Valentine's Day called Standing on the Side of Love. The very same words that hang on the front of this church, 100 feet that way. And how is this? How did this come to pass? Because Mark Kiemba read about us in a book. In his evangelical Bible college class, a man who had never used the internet halfway around the world comes across our faith, and now there is a liberal religious community in the nation's capital of Uganda dedicated to speaking up and speaking out for the worth and dignity of all people. That's what our faith has helped make possible. It matters what we are doing. It matters to gay and lesbian people in Uganda and here. It matters to the poor and middle-class people who pay a higher tax rate than millionaires and billionaires. It matters to every undocumented worker who lives in fear because our immigration system is outdated, illogical, and utterly inhumane. And it matters to us for our own individual health as well. As Mark said during his Sunday sermon here, my journey is to liberate many people, including myself. Nurturing our spirits and helping heal the world are two halves of the same coin. Now, I understand that you may be hesitant to identify as religious or as a person of faith. I certainly was. I didn't want to be grouped in with the kind of conservative faith and conservative ideas that always come to mind when I think of religious people. Eventually, though, I just kind of had to admit it. I was going to church services all the time. I loved it. I loved the people I met through Unitarian Universalism. And I think I just at some point acknowledged, like, this is what it means to be religious. If you're a member of a congregation, if you're a visitor that comes regularly, if you're active in religious programs, then you're a religious person. That's just what the word means. Whether or not you claim it for yourself, that's what it is. The problem is that when we, as liberal religious people, don't claim our faith, we let those conservative ideas dominate the public square. And whether it's in Uganda or Tennessee or right here in Philadelphia, that religiously motivated repression that dominates our public definition of religion has horrible consequences. And so we have an opportunity, and I think a responsibility, to act, not just as individuals and not just as a group, but as a community of faith, a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated to working for freedom and for love and for justice for all people. Now, our congregation has done and is doing many excellent things in this arena. However, like many congregations of this size, it's easy to have so many projects that the resources are spread too thin, and no one's exactly sure where we're headed or why. And although we may wish it weren't so, the reality is that no organization, including this congregation, can be effective and sustainable in its work unless there's focus. And so one of my main roles here as your consulting minister is to help increase the clarity and the focus and effectiveness of our programs, because the number of causes begging for our attention far, far exceeds the capacity. So how do we pick priorities? How do we decide when to start a project or when to end it? How do we make relationships deep and meaningful, not only within our congregation, but with the people in our community? I'm going to be working closely with Dennis Brunn and others in the Ministries and Programs Council to create some answers. I look forward to this work, and I hope you'll take an interest in it. Our task as a religious community is to signify something, to be not just a consummation, but a beginning. When we claim our power and take our faith seriously, when we resolve to focus enough to be effective, we show the world that yes, we signify something, and yes, we stand for something. We stand for love, we stand for acceptance, and we stand for justice. The world needs such a faith. Is this your religion? If it is, I ask, what are you going to do with it?